Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, it's Jesse Green. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast for episode 402. Can you believe it? We've got that many episodes done. Today we're talking about a really important topic, and that is about future-proofing you and future-proofing your practice, because we know that we are living through changing times. We know that the only constant in life is change. And so how do we choose options that give us the most amount of flexibility so we can cope with whatever the world throws at us? My guest today is Kelly Tomney, and she's the author of a book called Future Proof You. And we're talking all about finding that personal fulfillment and satisfaction, not just for you, but for your team, and how to develop your leadership style to get the very best out of your people. We want to make sure we have a fully engaged team. And when we've got a team that are engaged in their work, doing their highest and best work, we create this unstoppable force. And what that creates are wonderful results that amplify throughout the business, whether it's your patient experience, your reputation in the marketplace, the type of work that you do, and of course, your business profits as well. And so we talk about a lot of things in this episode. And I know you're going to want to have a pen and paper handy, because Kelly shares some absolute pearls of wisdom with you. So please do get that pen and paper handy. You're going to want to listen to this really carefully. Now, of course, if you're a motivated and a driven practice owner, we'd love to see you in our Savvy Dentist Facebook group, where we talk about the business of dentistry, how to run the practice. And so whether you're just starting out in practice, if you're a seasoned veteran, there's tools and training tips in there that will help you take your practice to the next level. So all you need to do is head across to Savvy Dentist in Facebook, search for Savvy Dentist in the Facebook search bar, and find us there. And we'll just ask you to answer a few questions upon entry. Once you've done that, we'll welcome you into the group. It's as easy as 123 ABC. For now, let's get on to our conversation with Kelly. I know you're going to love this. Do have that pen and paper handy, as I said, and we look forward to seeing you on the other side. Kelly Tomney, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Fantastic to have you here.
Oh, it is fantastic, Dr. Jesse, and all your listeners.
Well, I've been looking forward to this conversation. We had a false start last week when I had some dodgy Wi-Fi. This time, the Wi-Fi gods are smiling upon us. Long may that continue. Kelly, you are the author of a really wonderful book called Future Proof You, and it's a book that has been well received, not only well received, but actually really highly acclaimed. It's received so much media attention and so many accolades. And I wanted to just talk a little bit about why you wrote that book, because my experience having written a book, and obviously you as well, is that usually there's some little, you know, bee in your bonnet or pebble in the shoe or something that makes you go, you know what, I'm going to write about this sucker. And so I'm curious to ask you, what prompted you to write the book?
Yeah, thank you. You've written one yourself. You know it's not easy, so there does have to be a reason. Okay, what prompted me? That pebble in the shoe, I had to say, you know, I had a corporate career. I wasn't that bad. I was absolutely, you know, really enjoying it at the time. But life changes. Internally and externally, things changed, and my reasons for being in that organisation changed. I made a move to go to the US and make a lifestyle personal change. That was in the global financial crisis.
Wow.
It was a huge move for me, and I had not future-proofed myself, and that had really a massive, massive impact on my life, on my livelihood, on my personal, professional, on every sort of aspect of life. And I just thought, my goodness, I do not want anyone to have to go through that. Seemingly a smart person before this, I'm really enjoying, you know, my corporate roles and those sorts of things, and just felt like an absolutely hero in my career. But then I went to zero, and I did not have a plan B, C, or D. My plan A absolutely dissolved into a mobile phone message. I didn't have any other step forward, didn't have a lifeline, didn't know contacts, didn't have a visa in the US, didn't have a place to live. we could go on and on. But that's not what I really go into detail about in Future Proof You. What I go into detail about with Future Proof You is really the strategies and the framework and the actions to help anybody personally or professionally really build out that plan so that they've got multiple options, that they feel future-proof, they feel more fulfilled, and they're able to flex and flow when life changes, when we have challenges, when we have a crisis that comes up that was maybe unexpected. So this allows us to really help people pre-plan, pre-position, and really live their life of purpose.
I really like that strategy. I mean, there's a lot of strategy in future-proofing, right? This is like risk mitigation writ large, right? I've got option A, option B, option C, and, you know, if I'm, you know, mindful of what could happen, I may choose A, B, or C depending on the circumstances, but I need to be in a position where I can do A, B, or C. And so there's that pre-positioning that you spoke about. And I wanted to talk about that because it seems to me since COVID, and I use the word since like it's passed, obviously it's still around, but it seems to me like COVID was a real jolt for our economic system, much like the global financial crisis was. We all remember that. And work has changed. People have changed. The world has changed. And I don't think it's going to change back. I think there's a real shift that we're not going back to. And you're on the record for saying work is broken. And I wanted to ask you, why do you think work is broken?
Why do I think? Because I'm speaking to audiences and I'm working one-on-one with people every day who tell me it's broken. The people that I'm working with and speaking with are typically the leaders of the businesses or the practices. So if it's broken for them, it's typically broken for those around them because we know the impact that the leader has. And we know the stats on the people around them. So we've got 85% of people disengaged, and that's been for quite a long period of time. Those, you know, measures have been there. If we're spending most of our lives at work, over 75% of our time generally, more than us seeing our families, more than seeing our friends, more than doing our hobbies, and we're not really engaged with it, and the people leading the businesses and those sorts of things will actually tell us that it's not working for them.
Yeah.
That's why statistically and personally I have the evidence.
So what do people report though? Because when people hear that work is broke, they might go, well, what does that mean practically? Well, how does that show up? What are people experiencing? What are they complaining of? What does broken work look like and feel like, and what do people experience?
What does it feel like? Essentially, there are the majority, no matter who I ask, a lot of the audience, or they will tell me they're frustrated. So they're frustrated, they feel stuck, they feel that they can be more. Most of the people that I'm working with, probably very much like your listeners, high performing, technical, they've been in business or their practice for 10 plus years or something. Mm-hmm. They've got over the initial learning, the initial maybe satisfaction that you have in those first few years of your work.
Yeah.
And then they're looking for something more, and work isn't delivering it for them. What are they missing out on?
Mm.
They're telling me that they're not making the impact that they were born to make.
Mm.
So they really know that they're smart. Hmm. They're successful. They want to be doing more. So they want to make their practice to thrive, or, you know, to be actually doing their very best, to be leading their practice as well as they can. They know that they can be more. They're not making as much impact as they could actually be doing. Their potential isn't activated.
Hmm.
So they're pulled down by admin. We know the tax, you know, just it's endless,
the day-to-day,
business to-dos. And so they get caught in being the fixer the firefighter, the problem solver, and that, as well as, say, technically your discipline, it just pulls them back from actually actualizing what they really, you know, want to do in this next stage of work. So those are some of the feelings. On top of that, we've got burnout, we have exhaustion, we have, like you've mentioned, the world really has changed over this last 2-3 years. I believe we're definitely not going back, and we still have some recovery from what is actually going on. So those are some of the challenges that we're seeing, and that there's not enough time is the another challenge.
Yeah.
They're just not getting that. It's relentless, the amount of pressures on business leaders and practitioners' time, either personally or professionally. The expectations are really high.
Yeah, and I think, you know, business owners tend to be those people that have high stamina and can push through a lot of stuff, but everyone's got a limit, right? As a kid, I remember, you know, thinking that, you know, we're all put on this earth to do something special. And I really believe that to be true as an adult as well. But what I've noticed is there's a whole lot of people that go through life and slowly that dream dies, that you know, just probably through, you know, one, you know, death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. And I can't help but wonder whether there's a whole group of people feeling like, is this all there is, or there's got to be more to it than this? You know, I'm not sure I signed up for this, or when I started my practice, I had this big vision and now it just feels like I'm stuck in the quagmire. Is that the sort of stuff that you're hearing and seeing?
Totally. And it'll typically be some form of, is this it?
Yeah. Is this all there is?
Is this it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm successful. I'm earning, you know, good money. I should be grateful for this. I've got a good, you know, my health is quite good, these sorts of things. But is this it? You know, and no, it isn't. We can craft what's the next, you know, but what is next for people? That is very individualized in my framework. So I can get something that's really fulfilling for them.
And you've touched on a really important word, fulfillment. So it's really interesting in the work that we do. We talk about this hierarchy of needs. And so we have a whole structure around that. But really, from a business point of view, we talk about the first need, really. It's a bit like Maslow's hierarchy, but for business, right? So we talk about money being, you know, really important, because you've got to have the business, you know, operate. Then creating time for the business owner, but then ultimately fulfillment. And that fulfillment piece is a little bit elusive, and it is not always measurable. It's hard to put a KPI to it, all that sort of stuff. And there's, you know, the whole lot of emotions, and emotions are not always easy to articulate. Has it always been thus? Has it always been broken? Or have times just changed and what used to work no longer works? Or a combination thereof?
I think, in my view, work has probably always been broken.
Yep.
If we're to say, has work really been bringing out our highest potential? I don't believe that has ever been the case.
Okay.
So if we think of the industrialized age, well, okay, factories and that sort of stuff, definitely people that have not got their potential actualized in that framework. Now we're the post, you know, we're Industrial Revolution 4.0 or whatever. We're more educated than ever. So what's happened here is, okay, we've now got even more educated, we're now even more connected globally. We've now got even more visibility on issues that are important to us, and we've got a workplace where we're wanting to, you know, activate those skills and really bring that full purpose to bear, and we still haven't got that yet.
Mm.
Other than some promotion, or do a volunteer day, or we donate to some charity or something, you know, which is all well and good. I'm absolutely, you know, really for every step in that direction, but work isn't work. So I would say, no, it has never really fully worked.
Yep.
But what we're seeing now is people, you know, there are more jobs. People are struggling to find really good talent. Talent can choose now. So we're seeing them really sort of say, well, actually, that role isn't working for me anymore. I want to get some more out of that. So I think we're now entering another stage where where we have the power dynamics changing and we're seeing that work isn't working very much. If I had to draw another aspect of that, is that mental health and physical health is, we're seeing that it is not working on that level, you know.
What are the contributing elements that allow someone to have a fulfilling time? How do we make work work?
Yeah. And look, I've had to, you know, do this and wrestle with this myself. So, you know, I totally offer this framework and this from a point of testing this personally and knowing that it is not as easy as I'm going to display here. It does need to be put into practice.
Sure.
But the keys, the first one is authenticity. When we really do need to tap into what is unique, what is authentic for people right now, what's authentic for them 10 years ago, maybe when they're a practice owner, that sort of thing. They've grown, they've evolved, their life has changed, the world has changed. So even when I ask them what are their values, a lot of people haven't, you know, even firstly done their values ever, but then secondly updated them when we've had such a significant change. So that's just, you know, the first key, really sort of tapping into what is authentic for the practice owner for our listeners. What is authentic for them? The next one is future aligned.
I wanted to ask you about understanding yourself, because know thyself, as the expression goes. And sometimes, look, even in my own life, Kelly, I have, you know, struggled to articulate my own values at times, and I've done the values exercises and all those sorts of things. And you're right, they do shift as you go through different seasons of life, priority shift, all those sorts of things, without a doubt. If you don't know yourself, it's hard to be authentic, right? And so how do people begin this exercise of self-discovery and self-reflection? Because there'll be people go, yeah, I know me, sure I do. But when you dig a little bit below the surface and you ask those hard questions, sometimes you get blanks. And, you know, even what's your vision for your life, or, you know, what do you mean? You know, they'll say, you know, whatever it is. You know, did you visualize that? Oh, yes, okay, well, how does that look? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, how deeply did you visualize that? So I'm just curious to ask a bit about knowing yourself.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I just empathize, because these questions, they are big questions.
They are.
Really are big questions. So to know thyself, you know, that is probably, you know, the biggest, that is life's journey. Okay?
Yeah.
So we really, it is a really big thing. And we just uncover layers and layers of, you know, knowing ourselves and our blind spots and our, you know, superpowers, as well as our strengths, as well as our weaknesses, areas for development. I mean, it just keeps going. How do I do that? Look, I've been studying this, practicing, living, reading, working with people, thousands of people on this my whole life.
Yeah.
And I'm still, you know, still uncovering more tools, different ways to make it easier for people. I love a one-pager, so it's always a one-pager with me, and I ask questions, whether it be even in a speaking group or something like that. They've got a one-pager, and I'll be asking them questions very much to direct their own thinking and their own discovery around really who are they, what's their vision, those sorts of things. But I'd have to say I've developed the probably hacks. They are quick one pages that I've refined over time that people can do, and they go, right, oh wow, I've got a 5-year plan, where most people say, for their whole life, they could never do. You know, you can't future plan, these sorts of things.
Could you just give an example of maybe one or two questions so the listeners might be able to kind of start that thought process just to give them a bit of a kickstart?
Yeah, okay. So some of the questions that I ask, they could be things like, you know, when have you been at your best?
Yes.
And this is typically they may be thinking, oh, wow, I can't even think of a time, okay? Yeah. So I really empathise with that. I get it. You can be in the business and just be so overwhelmed with your day-to-day that we can't even unlock that thinking. But what I do is just ask them to think maybe, okay, all of life, best time in your career, what that look like. Okay, now we get some opening up. Oh, it was my dentistry studies. It was my MBA. It was my catch up at the Savvy Dentist, you know, conference. It was, you know, I really love connecting there, or I really loved X, Y, and Z. Okay, now we're starting to unlock what's you at your best. Mm. You like different procedures. You love the leadership side of business. You like mentoring your talent, da, da, da. Everyone will have a different combination. So I ask them to think about it, their best selves, all of life. So we go career first, maybe their practice, and then I ask them all of life. So when have you really been at your best there? Might be with family. It could be running a charity. They could be running a triathlon. Who knows what it is, but we'll pick up some elements there that really give them fulfillment. And so we look and say, well, actually, are you bringing this into your day-to-day, into your practice? When's the last time, you know, you have done that? And in all honesty, a lot of people say, I'm just so busy running a business at night plus doing the dentistry in this case. I haven't even contacted those friends. I haven't seen them for years or X and what, you know, be different examples.
Yeah.
So that's where we start to build a plan.
Yep.
And the best whole self is practical. I realise that we've got busy practices, we've got, you know, lots of relentless demands on people, but bit by bit add things that are much more fulfilling to people's businesses and practices and lives, and the lift becomes huge.
Yeah.
They just lift.
It sounds amazing. So I interrupted you, and I'm sorry, because we're going through the three big keys, and I interrupted you about authenticity to come back to know thyself. Just to get you to get back to those remaining two and three big keys, I'm just curious to understand what they would be.
So authenticity, it's a big one. Yes, got some practical exercises to do to get to that. The next one is future alignment. So it's alignment. And this is another big one, because a lot of people will go, actually, my current practice isn't aligned to what I want to do for the next 10 years or the next 5 years. And so it's like, okay, well, what is aligned to you for the next 5-10 years? And we do think that far out. And we do also look, so not only from the point of view of the practice owner, but the external environment. What's going on? What do we think are the trends? What are the trends in your area, in your state, in globally? Technology's changing, these sorts of things. What are the future of work skills? How easily is it going to be to get staff? So we look at the future alignment, and then what we look at is activation.
Yep.
That is the next key, because it's only then that I look at activation to say, well, okay, out of those things, what is the highest impact and the highest value things for you? They'll be different for different people.
Yep.
So we look at that and say, well, actually, it's going to be number one, it's going to be your purpose. We've got to develop a future-proofing, fulfilling purpose for the next, you know, 5-10 years or something like that. Number two could be, you know, your people. We really need to upskill your people, develop leadership, that sort of stuff, so that you aren't as burnt out yourself. say, for example.
Yep.
And that will amplify their positive impact, which is what people want work to do.
Absolutely. So that means positively impacting, obviously, their patients, their team, their business results, themselves, all those sorts of things. I wanted to ask you, Kelly, because we've spoken primarily about, you know, future-proofing the business owner, right? But this is going to be relevant for the whole team, right? Because if we want to have a team of engaged people, because if work's not working, we've got, you know, high levels of disengagement, and we want to change that, then this is something that we probably want to think about on an organizational level as much as an individual level. So I wanted to ask you a few questions around that as it relates to rolling this into a broader audience rather than just the leaders of the business. What I wanted to ask you is, as you roll this out and think about these things, are there any constants that we can actually anchor to, or do we have to just accept that everything is changing and you know, the old saying, the only constant is change? Or are there one or two things that we can actually, you know, tie our sail to and go, you know, this thing here is going to be okay?
Things are constantly changing, but I do believe there are core things people can really center on. And when they do center on that, we know that actually we are okay. Mm. We are making a really great impact. We are doing the very best we can. And so some of those, you're probably going to ask, well, now, what are those things? I think purpose is absolutely one of those things.
Yep.
People have, and we're talking about the business owner, but it would be the practice, but it's also the team members. Each will have their own individual purpose. When we get that, that is their constant. So the purpose is constant, and it, you know, it can be refreshed and evolved. The next thing that can be constant is their highest value impact priorities, just one or two or three.
Yep.
Now, over time, they may evolve as you've achieved one. The next, or the practice then decides, you know, there's another priority. We've got new equipment, da 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 da. We've got to bring this in for the team. That can be another priority, but you've always got your highest value priorities that you're working on. So that's always a constant. And the other stuff is going to have to be delegated, dissolved, deleted, because we just cannot keep adding.
No.
Principles that I would say that are really key and core that can really keep helping, the actual content of those things will evolve.
Yep.
But what gives people the real centering feeling of I'm calm here is that I've got my tools and the big stuff that's really, really important to our team, the practice, myself, is front and center.
Yeah. And I guess one of the things I'm always mindful of is, how do business owners remain relevant? Relevant to the needs of their customers, relevant to the needs of their team, relevant to the broader marketplace, you know, whatever that may mean in whatever context. I'm just curious to ask you about future-proofing as a way of remaining relevant, because, you know, going back to the very beginning of our conversation, you spoke about your changing circumstances rather dramatically, you know, at short notice when you went to America. One of the things that I feel in dentistry, and in fact every industry, it's not just unique to dentistry, is the amount of disruption that's occurring. It's a word that gets thrown around a lot. You know, there's massive technological advances happening in every industry, and dentistry is no different. I wanted to talk about relevance from a workplace point of view, but from a team point of view, and where future-proofing kind of lies in that. And again, from the business owner's perspective, how do you position yourself to have that maximum flexibility so that no matter what the circumstances may be, you're going to be relevant, and not only relevant, you're going to be, you know, perhaps leading the field.
Yeah, I love that. And so how do we do that? I think one of the hardest things people find, and they actually will laugh at this, but I say this to clients when they're having a consult with me, and they would rather go to the dentist than brand themselves. They would. And they all say absolutely yes. They go, I would not want to brand They do not want to brand themselves. They do not even want to brand their practice or business. It is really challenging for small to medium enterprise.
Mm.
So, what's the one thing that they can do to actually really future-proof and set themselves apart and position themselves is branding.
Personal branding or business branding?
Right. Look, both. I'd say the absolute key one is their leadership brand.
Okay.
Now, I align all of them if I was working with someone. How they live is how they lead.
Yes.
That would be their personal, how if they're focusing on this as their leadership brand and they are really living that, it will be their personal brand. Does that make sense of how they are in their life and in their practice? And actually that will reflect and amplify through their business branding. The biggest one I've seen to make an impact is that leadership brand, because everybody is seeing how they lead. If that's positive, negative, destructive, constructive, it makes a huge, huge impact.
So can we just talk about leadership brand for a second, because it's probably a concept that not many people might be familiar with. And they might be familiar with their business brand, they might even be familiar with personal brand, but leadership brand, a lot of people listening to this show will go, oh, hang on, that's a new thing for me. So I'm just hoping, Kelly, you can just describe the elements of a leadership brand or even how to construct it with some intent behind that so that we're not letting it happen by default.
Yeah, really good point. So like a business brand or a personal brand, if that's where we're coming from, the very best ones are clear and they're consistent.
Mm.
And that allows them to get high value and high impact. Mm-hmm. We think of Cola, the classic, okay? It's very, very clear what they stand for and they are consistent in everything they do, every country, every... If we're to look at it from a leadership brand, be very clear on what you stand for. So what do you stand for as a leader of your practice, leader of your business, leader of your life, and what are you going to consistently activate in everything you do? That will give you high value and high impact. So, you know, examples for people can be things like, I can be, you know, a growth leader. Okay, say for example, well, if you really stand for growth, then what would the behaviours look like and how, what would be your mindset and what would be your actions that you would actually be consistent in doing? That's an example.
No, that's great. That's really practical. And can you stand for more than one thing? Can it be growth and something else? Or, and then how many are too many when you start become trying to be everything to everyone? You know, because everyone will go, growth, excellence, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and so the list continues. And then all of a sudden we're trying to be a superhero, right, and we just can't live up to.
No, and we definitely, that's not fulfilling.
Yes.
We definitely don't want that. It's a really good call out. So I typically, it's three.
Three? Okay.
So we've got five pistol. We can really balance quite well with three.
Yep.
And people can remember three, we can focus on three and keep people accountable to three, and we choose your future-proofing three. So what are the top ones that are actually really going to fulfill you, that are really going to be future-proofing your business, your life? If someone's, you know, excellence, say for example, does that fulfill them? Does that really, you know, they may go, well, actually, no, not really. So that's not going to be a future-proofing leadership brand. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But what really, if they are wanting to be the leader in X type of procedures or who knows, what it would be for them, we really, it's ones that are relevant to that, the future that they want to create.
So maybe it's about being an innovative leader or something of that nature, so they're continually learning and da-da-da-da. I'm just making that up as we go, but that could be an example perhaps.
Sure. And really I try and get it to something that's really specific, that really is motivating for them, that really is unique, rather than something that can just... You know, we've heard from those stats, which I said earlier, just how many people are unmotivated and stuff like that. So we really want it to be really compelling for them. And then you can see, you can just see that in the practice. It's like, oh, wow, they are just brilliant at doing that. It becomes their superpower.
And I really like that, because the thing that I've always worried about, in all candor, is platitudes and generalizations where, you know, people go, oh, it's just another catchphrase or whatever, and it's kind of sounds like management speak, if that makes sense. And so, but this is really different, and this is what I'm anchoring to. I really like it, because you're going, okay, hang on, let's get really specific about this. Let's tap into your superpower. Let's make sure it's future-proof. It's not just something for today, but it's something you're going to, you know, be fascinated and live into for the next however many years. And I think that's a really key distinction. So for anyone listening to this, I want you to draw that distinction. I want you to understand that we're not just talking about fancy words on a wall. We're not just talking about platitudes. We're talking about really practical stuff. This is going to show up in your behaviors. It's going to show up in your decision-making. It's going to show up in every element of your leadership. And therefore, you're going to have that consistency around your leadership, which I think is going to be great, because then your people know what to expect from you, right?
Totally. And when we know what to expect from people, we get that huge value and expert, you know, we just get that consistency buzz. It's like, yeah, we build trust. Consistency builds trust. And what we have seen in all of the research, the Edelman Trust Barometer over years and years and years, is that we're really starting to trust leaders and organizations less. And that really, you know, it's really sad. And but we know people in your community, they want to be a trusted leader. They absolutely do. So we can do this. We just need some tools, as you say, very specific, not just, you know, I'm anti some sort of word that's just like everybody's saying it. It's meaningless. It has to be meaningful to them.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, Kelly, we have covered a lot of territory today, and I really want to thank you for unpacking, you know, future-proofing you and the organization. And obviously, ladies and gents, grab a copy of Kelly's book if you want to explore this topic further, which I'd encourage you highly to do so. You can grab a copy at kellytomney.com and presumably on Amazon and other good booksellers of that nature. What would be the things that you would think are the absolute salient points, or the real, you know, nuggets of gold that we want our listeners to take away and think about, reflect on, but ultimately do something with, because it's about the application of that knowledge? What are the things that we'd like them to do?
Okay, really good point. Future-proof you first.
Yes.
We just can't do anything if you aren't future-proof yourself.
Yep.
Oh, put that oxygen mask on first. We've got to do that. You will lead the way. People follow you.
Yes.
So you first. The second is future-proof leaders grow more leaders. And in my way of thinking and experience, leaders has got nothing to do with direct reports or someone reporting in or whatever, being a team leader. For example, having that title, everyone can lead. And I think this is where we're really future of work, and work works for people, because people can lead in all different ways.
Yeah.
And it just starts to build out their autonomy, their empowerment, their feeling of fulfillment. So that's the second one. Future-proof leaders build more and grow more leaders. And for practices to be future-proofed, we want that legacy, we want that impact, we want that more time leveraged, we want the more impact. That's the way forward, is getting more leaders rather than you getting in the day-to-day and just being burnt out at night. It's definitely not the way forward there. The third one I'd say is, okay, this is a big miss, the focus on profit. If we could put purpose and people before profit, the profit will be much more future-proof. It'll be much more and far less problems. Putting profit as the first motivator causes more problems. And we're seeing that where a lot of workplaces, they don't get up and out of bed in the morning and work employees and think, I'm going to get more profit. You know, that's it's not motivating.
No.
And so if we go for purpose first, focus on your people that deliver that purpose, you will get far more sustainable future-proof profit. And so I'm not saying profit's not important. Absolutely it is. But it's the focus first. Yeah.
Yeah, profit's the byproduct really, isn't it? And I think, you know, what I am hearing you say out of all of this, and this is a really good point, is going back to the beginning of the conversation, if we've got, you know, with work not working, burnout, stress, all those things we spoke about, then as business owners, we're going to need to work with and through other people. And to do that, we're going to need to these future-proofing skills. We're going to need to future-proof ourselves. We're going to need to develop other people. We're going to need to make sure they're using their time for highest and best use in alignment with where they see themselves. And if we do that, we're going to have an unstoppable team, and that's where the profit's going to come from.
Yes. They want to go work. They're lit up. They believe they're making such an impact. They're learning. They're doing more. They're taking more from you.
Yeah.
They're proactively doing things. You know, create, it's much more enjoyable.
Yeah, I really, really love that. I think that's a really cool thing for everyone to take hold of. So, ladies and gents, please write that down, because there's some absolute wisdom there. And it sounds counterintuitive, because most of us have been through, you know, business training, going thinking about the profit, and thirdly, the profit. Whereas actually the profit is the byproduct of the people and the purpose. And if we can align those things, get a team of people who just want to go to work, they're loving work, look, I think you become an unstoppable force. And I think that's absolutely magic. So, Kelly, thank you very much for sharing your wisdom today, and for sharing your knowledge, but also your experience. And I read somewhere today, Kelly, this is probably going to sound a little bit slightly tangential, but it just struck me today after your experiences, we are most equipped to help the people we used to be. And listening to your story back in the global financial crisis 2008, clearly there's been an evolution and probably even a revolution in your own life. And it's really exciting to see that become such a powerful force for good in the world. So out of that adversity has come something tremendous. I want to acknowledge that and congratulate you on doing such good work. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. I really appreciate it. And that fulfills my purpose. You know, every day I get to do this. It is an absolute, yeah, it is a joy, and I am using my technical skills, and I'm always learning, and so it's just so fulfilling. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Well, thank you for coming onto the show today. I'm looking forward to hopefully catching up in person at some point, and all the best with the book, and let's see how that unfolds for book number two, I hope. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, that's right. You've probably got a sense of what it's going to be.
I have an idea, yeah.
Definitely about leadership. So, yeah, no, all good. It's already in the wings, so all good.
Excellent. Well, thank you once again, Kelly. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.